Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jesse of Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Churches. The scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have a great week. I heard this great story once from the author Douglas Adams, and I want to tell you the story, but it's one of those stories that I feel is better told from the first person, as if I had lived it. If I try to read the story or tell you the story, it doesn't work the same way. So bear with me. This is not my story, but someone else's, but I think it's worth it. So Douglas Adams is a writer and humorist in England. And so he got to the train station early and about 15 minutes left. So I go to the coffee shop and I buy a newspaper and a cup of coffee and a pack of cookies because I figure I have a couple minutes left until my train comes. I'll sit down at a table and do the crossword. So I sit down, I put my coffee down and my cookies and my newspaper. I open up to the crossword puzzle. I get started on the clues, and across from me, a guy sits down, we nod at each other politely, and I go back to my crossword. Next thing I know, he reaches over the table, opens up my bag of cookies, and eats one right away. Now, as a red-blooded Englishman, I do what every red-blooded Englishman would do, I ignore him. And I figure instead what I'll do is I'll reach over, I'll grab a cookie, and eat it myself. Now he knows that those are my cookies. Now this guy has the audacity. He reaches over and grabs another cookie to eat. And now I'm perplexed. It's too awkward to say something the second time. The first time I can get away with it, but the second time there's no way that I can casually or easily say, those are my cookies, what are you doing? And so passive-aggressively I reach over and I eat another cookie. We don't make eye contact for the next 15 minutes, but we go back and forth, one for one, eating cookies out of this pack. The whole time I am furious. Who does this guy think he is eating my cookies? So finally, the pack is empty. I haven't looked at this guy in minutes. I can't even stare at my crossword puzzle. But instead, all I keep thinking is this anger and hatred I have toward this man for eating all of my cookies. The pack is empty, the PA goes off, his train is ready. He gets up and leaves my empty pack of cookies sitting there on the table as a monument to his, well, I guess my frustration. I'm sitting there stewing on what happened. How in the world does this happen to me? The PA goes off, my train is ready. I pick up my coffee, I fold up my newspaper to put it into my bag, and there underneath my newspaper is my original unopened pack of cookies. And the great part about this story is there's someone out there who for the past 30 years has been telling this story, but doesn't have as good of a punchline at the end of it. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you too will be judged. What could have been a 30-second conversation, those are my cookies you opened by accident, do you want some? Or those are my cookies, are you mistaken? Oh no, those are mine, sorry, I must have put mine somewhere else. Oh look, we got two packs of cookies on the table. Instead, lasted for 15 minutes of anger and passive aggressiveness and furiousness at each other. Because I can't imagine what the guy on the other side of the table was thinking. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. We're almost at the end of the series of the Sermon of the Mount. And Grace, it's great to have you back with us, but I apologize you've missed pretty much all of it. But they're available online, and I can help you listen to those. We heard the Beatitudes when Jesus first sat down. The poorest of the poor and the lowest of the low will be made the highest in the kingdom of heaven, and the opposite is true for the rich and for the powerful. We heard that we are light and we are salt to a world that needs it, and that we have to go out and be salt and light to a world. Last week we heard, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough to worry about. Each day is difficult enough. And this week, Jesus says to us, do not judge others, or you too will be judged. And then expands it a little bit more, by the same way that you judge others, by the same way that you measure others, you too will be judged, and you will be measured. The way we judge others, the way we criticize others, our methods or our standards, God will judge us the same way. And this reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. We're halfway through. We say, God, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or the more modern interpretation, God, forgive me of my sins and I'll forgive my neighbor of his sins against me. Forgive me for lying or for stealing, and I'll forgive those who steal from me or lie to me. It's this back and forth we have with God, almost this tug of war. What I do to my neighbor, God will do to me. I need to forgive others as God has forgiven me. I need to love others as God has loved me. And so do not judge, or you will be judged. The way you judge others will be used to judge you. So when I see someone and judge them, when they open my pack of cookies and eat half of my pack and I am angry and frustrated at them, I will be judged the same way. When I see someone gaming the system, when I see someone stealing from the system, when I see someone in a pickup truck parking in a handicapped spot, when I'm at ShopRite and see someone in a wheelchair standing up to get something from the top shelf, when I judge too quickly or without hearing the full story, I'll be judged the same way. Think back to those cookies. The whole time, what is this guy doing eating my cookies? I was eating his cookies. This whole time, he's angry and frustrated with me. How much angrier was I at him? How similar is this to other issues, more serious issues than packs of cookies at the coffee shop? I heard this story of a young girl in a wheelchair. She's an ambulatory user, which means she can still move around but still needs a wheelchair most of the time. She's young, doesn't look like there's anything wrong with her, doesn't look like she's missing a leg or a foot, doesn't look like she's in need of a wheelchair. And so she gets up and stands up and grabs something from the shelf and puts it in her basket and sits back down again. And a person in the aisle sees this girl and decides to berate her. How dare you? People actually need those chairs. What are you doing? This isn't a toy. If you can get up and walk, why do you need that chair? You don't look sick. And so it turns out this girl, if she stands for more than a couple of seconds or a minute, she passes out. Her blood pressure drops and she can't keep herself conscious anymore. So she can drive and she can get out and grab her wheelchair, but she can't walk into the supermarket. She can roll around in the supermarket and go to the shelf she needs and stand up and grab something, but she has to sit back down or else she will pass out. How many times do we look at other people and just by looking at them we say, that's not right. They're trying to game something. They're trying to steal something. And we could talk all day about those who are differently abled. We could talk all day about those who have a disability or live with a disability, deaf persons, those who park in accessible parking spaces. But the truth is, every time we pass judgment on others, it's not easy, but it happens a lot more with disabilities, especially invisible disabilities that we can't see. It's very easy for us to assume that they're able-bodied, that they're not living with a disability. And so we pass judgments on people. We form opinions on people before we hear their story, or we form opinions and pass judgment after we've heard their story. And how easy is it for us to get up and try to correct someone else? How easy is it for us to judge someone else and decide that they need a talking to? And this is when we need to hear Jesus' words, "Do not judge, or you will be judged. By the same way you judge others, you too will be judged." When we form opinions on others without hearing their stories, or what's even worse, when we form opinions on others after hearing their stories, the same will happen to us. I'm reminded of a biblical story from the book of John, chapter 8. The Pharisees bring to Jesus a woman who had been caught in adultery. A woman, not a man, because apparently women were second-class citizens. They ask Jesus if they must follow the law of Moses. Any woman caught in adultery must be stoned to death. And so Jesus looks at the crowd around them, all of them holding their big stones that they were getting ready to pass judgment on this woman. And Jesus says, "Let any of you who is without sin cast the first stone." And so one by one, they throw their stones on the ground and they walked away until only Jesus and the woman were left. And how similar is it for us? I know what you're thinking, Pastor, I don't try to game the system. Pastor, I don't steal. I don't park in spots I'm not supposed to park in. I don't use a wheelchair if I'm able-bodied. I don't know what you're talking about today. When I see others doing these things, it's different. They're wrong. What I do isn't that level of wrong. And so I think it's the second half of the scripture that then becomes relevant. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or your sister, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I had a conversation with Bob and Carol this week. There are new members who are going to be joining in September. And right around the time I think Carol was trying to kick me out, Bob and I started a conversation, because this is what happens. Usually I get one or the other, and people start going, it's time to leave. The spouse is usually like, "Well, I got one more question, Pastor." We were talking about this concept that I find the most fascinating. It's this duality of Jesus. This Jesus who came, like in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, came on the wings and on the backs of angels. This King who was born to us to save us. This God of the universe who came down to live among us. But also this little baby. This child born to a humble beginning, this child who lived an entire life, this God who came to earth to live and experience everything that humanity has to offer. And we talk about these things like we normally think about Jesus' experiences with friendship and with hardship, pain and death and suffering on the cross, the love of a mother, the sting of betrayal from Judas. But I think sometimes, and what I like to think about, are the things that Jesus experienced that we normally don't think about. Did he have a boyhood crush on a neighbor or a schoolmate? Did he experience love and infatuation, and then did he experience heartbreak and rejection? Did he experience disappointment and anger and frustration? Did he experience friendship with his disciples? Did he experience humor? I always envision Jesus and the disciples hanging out. Jesus, a man in his 30s, the disciples, we have no idea how old they were. Going camping and sitting around the fire and making jokes with each other. Do you remember that time, Peter, when you fell into the water? That was funny. I lifted you out. You're okay now. John, remember that time you made a joke at Paul's expense? Paul wasn't there. At Timothy's expense? I got a really good joke I need to tell you guys. I think this doesn't take away from Jesus. I think this shows us Jesus' humanity. This makes Jesus, to me, very accessible. That he can live and live the way that I lived. That he can experience life fully, so that when he does walk to the cross, he does so knowing what it is to be a human, the beauty of being a human. And so when I read the text this morning, when I read, how can you remove a speck of dust from your brother's eye with a log in your own eye? How can you see that speck of dust? Take the log out of your eye first and then remove the speck of dust in your neighbor's eye. My first thought about reading this is that that's kind of funny to hear. Okay, apparently I'm the only one. Think about it. If I were to say, like, you know, look, if you got a big 2x4 in your eye, don't look for a little bit of dust on someone else's face. If my face is covered in paint, don't look for a little drop of paint on someone else's face first. These are funny. These are kind of jokes that Jesus is making. I think he's like a pastor making a joke during the sermon just to make sure that everyone is paying attention. Just like we get here sometimes, just like my folks at Broadway get sometimes. Sometimes I think after a while, when I'm just talking, people kind of tune me out. And if Jesus is in the middle of a 3-chapter sermon on the side of a mountain, I'm pretty sure people stopped paying attention. Especially when it's something they don't want to hear. Do not judge or you will be judged. And people kind of go, yeah, but I like judging people. And Jesus says, come on, take the log out of your eye first, and then judge someone else. And so, yes, it's a great illustration and it's a joke, but I think he's also making a point. Don't we all have logs in our eyes? Don't we all have past sins or past faults? I don't think there's any one of us, and I'd guess, who hasn't done something in their past that they're not ashamed of. I think there isn't a single one of us in this room, except for maybe Corey, who can say that I haven't had a past that I'm not happy about. I can't stand before God and be blameless. I don't think I'm able to pick up the first stone and throw it. And so this is what Jesus means when he tells us, do not judge or you will be judged. Do not look at another person's sin or your sin will be looked at. Do not try to upstage another person or embarrass another person or passively, aggressively fight another person. Do not eat half of a pack of cookies and be angry and vengeful while the person across the table from you is doing the exact same thing. Instead, we can leave it up to God. If we are sinners, if God loves us and forgives us, even when looking at our pasts, even when looking at our lives, even if he sees us today and we still sin, then God can love and forgive everyone. It's not our place to be hallway monitors. It's not our place to call out and embarrass people. It's our place to love them and lift them up and help them. God will take care of all of it at the end, and I don't mean in some weird kind of satisfaction that they're going to be punished for their sins. He ate half of my cookies. He's going to burn because of that. That's not what I'm trying to say today. This is what the good news of the gospel is. If I am a sinner, and I am a sinner, I will admit that. And if God can love me, and if God can forgive me, if I have a past that I am not proud of, and God can still love me and call me today, If God can show me grace, shouldn't I show grace to others? Isn't that why we want to live in the kingdom of heaven? Isn't that why we're proud to be Christians? Not because we're morally superior, not because we have the secret to get into heaven, not because we want to lord it over other people, but because we've been given this gift that we do not deserve, but this gift that shows us a new outlook on life, this gift that shows us a new way to live, that we can live and we can love others without getting bogged down in anger or hurt. How easy would it have been to say, hey man, do you want some cookies out of my pack? Hey man, do you want me to go buy you a pack of cookies? Are you hungry? What's your name? Hi, I'm Jesse. How's it going today? Instead of being angry and frustrated and passive aggressive with each other to the point where we are just looking at the other person, not as a person, but as the enemy. And so what can we do? If this was my Monday youth group, it's very easy with kids and with students. You give them one thing to do during the week and they try to do that thing. Not if you're a parent. I don't think it's this easy as a parent, but it's this easy as a pastor. I give them one thing and feed them and send them home after we play some games. But for my youth group, what I would say is stop people when they bully or when they gossip at school. That's a great youth message. And I think it's the same message for us today, but because we're adults, we need to go one step further. Yes, speak out against gossiping. Yes, speak out against bullying. All this still happens, even and maybe especially when you're an adult. But do so because we need to put back, we need to return some civility to our world. Do so because you are a citizen of heaven and because that kind of behavior is wrong. Stop judging others, those who don't act like you or talk like you or look like you, and stop others when they judge people as well. Aren't we all human? Aren't we all children of God? Don't we all have a log in our eyes and a past or a history that we're not proud of? This is what the Sermon on the Mount is about. This is why these words are so hard to hear. This is why Jesus makes jokes sometimes. These things are human nature. Jesus didn't say, if you go out and judge people, stop doing that. It's the same as last week. Jesus didn't say, if you worry, here are three steps to stop you from worrying. He didn't say, if you judge, here are ways to stop you from judging. He said, stop judging. Stop worrying. Stop hating your neighbors. Start loving your neighbors instead. This is human nature to judge and to worry and to get frustrated and focus not on what we're supposed to focus on, but to focus on this piece of sawdust in another's eye. I feel like Christians have this tendency, and I'm sure it's none of us in this room, but I feel like sometimes Christians have this tendency to say, I'm more worried about how you're living than how I'm living. I'm more worried about the sins that are in your life than the sins that are in my life. I'm more worried about the speck of sawdust in your eye than the log in my own eye. I'm worried about the speck of paint on your face instead of my whole face being covered in paint. As if by pointing out someone else's faults, we feel a little bit better. By ignoring our own faults, we feel better because now they've been put in their place. Do not judge or you will be judged, Jesus tells us and tells us all. We don't need to call out sin. We don't need to gossip. We don't need to be frustrated and angry when someone takes our cookies. We don't need to get frustrated when it seems like people are gaming the system in front of us. God loves us and sorts us all out. That's on God. Instead, it's the same thing that Jesus has been teaching us the entire last couple of sermons. Instead, love your neighbor. Seek the kingdom of heaven. Seek God's righteousness. Love them for who they are. This is how we act as Christians. Our next song is Freely, Freely. I did something a little weird. I know. You can look at it if you want. I didn't say amen yet. Our next hymn is Freely, Freely, and I love the chorus of this song. Jesus says, and now I don't have it. I had it in my mind, but I don't have it on me. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Freely, freely you have been loved. Freely, freely you have been forgiven. Freely, freely you have been shown the way to live better. Go in love, go and live. And because of that, others will know that he lives. Amen. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you had a great day and a great time listening. God bless.